Good day to you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is March 8th, 2006, and you are listening to our Wednesday evening broadcast. Our message will be brought to us by a special guest speaker, Reverend Joe Decker. His scripture references are in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, and Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. His topic tonight is this: when you've got a problem, don't hesitate to go to Jesus. There is never a moment in any circumstance when hope turns to hopelessness when Jesus is involved. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thank you for listening.
Philippians chapter 3, please, if you would. And when you found your place in Philippians 3, I'd like for you to turn to Mark chapter 5 as well, as we'll be going there shortly. But we'll start off in Philippians chapter 3, look at a few verses here, and we'll get started tonight. Philippians chapter 3, and follow along as I begin to read here in verse number 8. Paul says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." We're talking about a man who says, "I want more of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I just want to know him more. And I want to know him more tomorrow than I knew him today. And I want to know him better next week than I knew him this week." And that's where Paul's at. He says in verse 9, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." And this is a verse I want you to pay particular attention to. Verse number 10, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." I want you to understand that Paul says his desire is to know Jesus Christ. I love the song that says, "I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about that mansion I'm going to receive as my reward. I want to know more about my homeland. I'm going to go there someday, somehow. And after I leave this, and after I reach my heavenly journey," or something like that, I've gone blank on the words, "but I'm going to know more than I know now." And it ought to be our attitude and our desire to know more about Jesus Christ as well. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for your word and how you instruct us, how you guard our lives, and how you keep us. Lord, I'm praying tonight that you'd use your word to speak to the hearts of your people. May we receive encouragement and conviction where necessary. Lord, may we grow from this message tonight, be better Christians for you, Lord, than when we came in. Lord, help the message be clear. And God, help us to leave here tonight knowing the purpose of your message for us that you've given to me. God, I pray that you'd help me. Help me not to hinder anything that you would do in my heart or in the heart of anyone else, Lord, but use me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Look back with me in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, and we're going to read a story. Probably many of you are familiar with it. But in Mark, chapter 5, the Bible says in verse number 21, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. So we find right here immediately the situation after Jesus gets off the ship and walks out onto the land. A man who is a religious leader of the day meets him as he comes off the ship. He says, I need you to come with me right away. And there's some urgency in his voice. And I have a little 2-year-old girl, and I know here a while back, it's probably 11:30 or midnight or so, and she hadn't been feeling good and had an ear infection. We didn't know it at the time, but she had just been grumpy and fussy and been running a fever. And we checked her fever, and it's about, like I said, about 11:30 or midnight, and her fever was running 104.4 at the time. Boy, that scared the life out of me. It had never been that high before. She had run fevers, but never anything that high. And so what do you do at midnight? You know, thankfully there was a doctor on call, and they were able to calm me down, and second of all, able to tell me what to do and what to monitor and how to keep an eye on her, and everything turned out okay. But boy, I tell you, when I saw that number readout on that digital thermometer, it scared me. And I don't quite understand, I don't believe the urgency that Jairus had in his voice when he came knowing that his little girl, his little daughter, could die just at any time. Very, very urgent situation. And he does the right thing. In faith, he comes to Jesus. And the first thing I want you to know tonight is when you've got a problem, don't ever hesitate to go to Jesus. Jesus does care about your problems. He does know about them. He's watching over your life, and he wants you to come to him in the midst of problems. And it doesn't matter how urgent or non-urgent it is. Jesus cares about our problems. And so here Jairus comes and falls at his feet, tells him about his daughter. And I like verse 24. The Bible says, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And when I read those words, and Jesus went with him, what I see is this consent of a loving master to say, I'm on the job, I'll take the case. You see all these commercials for lawyers on television and things like that, and man, they all want your case. But what you might not realize about some of them is sometimes you can go into a lawyer's office and you can sit down and you can tell him your circumstance and he's going to say, nice talking to you, have a good day. I'm not going to take it. We've got a lawyer there in Springfield, and on his television commercials, he boasts that he has never lost a workman's compensation case. However, if you read the speed talker at the end of the commercial, he's going to tell you that he doesn't take every case. And he can pick and choose which cases he wants to do, and then he settles up with insurance companies and things like that. But he boasts he's never lost a workman's compensation case. But I'm telling you, when I read verse 24, I see Jesus say to this man Jairus, yes, I understand your situation and I'm on the job, because he goes with him. Show me the way. Lead me. And so Jesus is following Jared. A lot of people say, hey, something's going to go on. We've heard about this man, and we've heard about some of the things he does. And I tell you what, if you want to see something special, let's get in the group and let's follow him to where he's going, and let's see what he wants to do. You know, these people weren't following Jesus because they were followers of Jesus. They were following Jesus because they wanted to be entertained. They wanted to see a show. They wanted to see somebody healed, or they wanted to see a blind man receive their sight. However, you'll find when it comes to their problems, trusting Jesus to fix them, it's a completely different story. But they sure are up for entertainment. A lot of people like that still today. They want to be entertained. I tell you, the Pentecostal movement's one of the largest in our nation right now. And a lot of it, let's just be honest, is because people are entertained by what they see on television and what they see in the crusades and things like that. And there's a large entertainment value, even though a lot of it has nothing to do with the truth of the Word of God. And so here's some people wanting to be entertained, and so they're following. But in the midst of the entertainment seekers, there was a woman who was looking for more than entertainment. And so the Bible says in verse number 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. Verse number 28, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And here we find the faithful disciples. I love these guys. These guys are always, their mouths are always going faster than their brains are. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, they've always got something to say, and they're always ready to say it, even before they think about what's getting ready to come out of their mouth. And so here they're going to kind of poke a little joke at Jesus. Just make a little offhanded comment, you know, kind of jeering him a little bit, because Jesus turns around amidst the people. They're pressing in against him. And Jesus says, who touched my clothes? Well, the disciples, they're going to be funny here. They're comics. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest, who touched me? Oh, come on, good luck. That's finding a needle in a haystack here. I mean, there's all kinds of people touching you. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She knew she had touched him. She knew why she had touched him. And she knew he was talking about her. And so she steps up. She's forthright. She's honest. She falls down before him. And the Bible says, tells him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Let me talk about this woman for just a second. We talked about Jairus' daughter a moment ago, which we have every indication that his daughter was a problem that came up suddenly and had very, very great urgency. And we're talking about a dire emergency here. Probably something that just came up sudden, and here she is. She's laying at home. She's sick, and she's about to die. Here, on the other hand, is a woman who has struggled with her infirmity for 12 years. The pain that she's experienced is nothing new to her. She's been going through it 365 days a year for the past 12 years. She is accustomed to her problem. Not just that, but this woman has she's looked for every avenue that she possibly could to try to find out some cure, some way to get rid of this illness that she had. And she has not been able over the course of 12 years to find anything that can help. Nothing, the Bible says, made it better, but rather as time grew on, her condition got worse. Listen, Jesus cares about the sudden problems that pop up in your life, just like he cares about the problems that have been there for many, many years. And he has the power to fix both kinds. The things that blindside us and knock us flat on our face, and the things that kind of creep up on us. I told you I was having some gallbladder problems. And as they begin to tell me the symptoms of gallbladder troubles, and as they just begin to talk about what gallstones will do to your body, I began to think, and I began to remember back in times, and I could remember all the way back in high school when I had physical problems and had no idea what it was. I'm talking about some probably 10, 11 years ago that I was struggling with gallbladder problems, had absolutely no idea that's what it was. Until this past December, when I did the stupidest thing a person could ever do. You're dying to know what it is, aren't you? It was not asking your preacher to come preach a revival. That wasn't it, okay? It was around the same time, though. He was scheduled to come in on Monday. The Wednesday night before, we got home from church. We didn't really feel like making anything to eat, but I was kind of hungry. And we're talking about late at night, and I decided to make me a bedtime snack. So I looked through the refrigerator. I didn't really see anything there. I looked through the cupboard. Didn't really see anything there. Looked in the freezer, and there I found the jackpot. It was a bag that we had bought at Sam's, I think about 10 pounds of pepperoni sliced. I didn't eat the whole bag. Come on. That's what some of you are thinking right now. No, I carefully selected the hand-picked choice pepperoni out of the bag, laid them out on a cookie sheet, put them in the oven, baked them for a while, sliced me some cheddar cheese, sat down on the couch with one slice on the bottom, cheese in the middle, and one slice on top, ate a cookie sheet worth of pepperoni. The next statement that I make is going to amaze you. It made me sick. Really sick. As a matter of fact, I told my doctor that, and after he got up off the floor from laughing, he told me, yeah, that's about the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. And I didn't know I had gallstones, and apparently gallstones and pepperoni don't go together real well. And so I got sick. But you know, that problem kind of came about on me for a long, long time. And my wife says now that I don't have a gallbladder, I'm a different man. I'm just different. I can go out to eat now, and I don't just throw anything down that I want to now and not have to worry about the consequences. A little older, a little wiser, you understand? But at the same time, that problem just kind of grew over time until all of a sudden I was sick. An operation had to be done, surgery. I mean, that one, it seemed abrupt, but come to find out, it had been forming for a long time. Not all problems are like that. You know, some of you are going to face problems tomorrow that you can't see today at all. You don't even know they're on their way. But tomorrow they're going to jump up and grab you. And I want you to know Jesus is there. That's why he came out of that tomb, so he can be there. And Hebrews says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And he's there and he cares. He cared about this woman and he healed her. But I want to show you something else that I found in this story too. He says here in verse number 33, toward the end of the verse, that the woman came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. I did some looking into this, a little bit of research into what this meant when it said all the truth. And this is literally what it means. It means that she told Jesus everything. She went back 12 years in her life and took him from the day one of realizing the problem and brought him through all of the doctor's visits that she had made over the last 12 years, all the money she had spent, all the resources that she had lost, how the condition worsened and didn't get better. And she took him through at least, when the Bible says all the truth, it at least means all the truth concerning this matter. And she told him the last 12 years of her life, maybe her life story. Now, I'm only 26 years old, but if you get me talking about my life story, I'm not going to get it out in 2 minutes. I can't even tell you about me getting saved in 2 minutes. I remember we was going through this soul winning program, you know. Give your testimony in 2 minutes. I don't think so. I mean, that just can't happen, you know. I got to tell how God brought me to that place, you know, and everything. And, you know, just the testimony of my salvation is going to take a while. If I'm going to tell you my life story, you better have a few minutes to sit down and wait. If you're going to tell me your life story, then we're going to need some time to talk about this. Because you've had a lot of things happen in your life that have molded your life into what you are today. And that's the way this woman was. You say, why is that significant that she took the time to tell Jesus her life story? Did you forget about Jairus? You remember him? We just read about him a moment ago. Remember, he comes and he finds Jesus and his daughter could die just at any time. You remember we talked about the urgency that was in his voice as he told Jesus this problem? Can you imagine how relieved his heart was when all of a sudden Jesus said, come on, let's go, and they start toward the house? But can you imagine how his emotions sank when all of a sudden Jesus stopped. I don't know about you, but if it's me, I'm going to say something like, hey, Jesus, what are you doing? Remember I told you about my daughter? Remember she could die just at any time? Why are you stopping? But not only does Jesus stop, but he stops and begins talking to this woman. Not only does he begin talking to this woman, but Jesus stands there and listens as this woman recounts at least the last 12 years of her life. And Jairus is standing there. And I don't know about you, but if that's me, my heart's going crazy. I'm going to be worried sick. I'm going to think, man, I thought he was coming, and now he stopped, and now this woman's going on with her story. And just to be honest with you, in my flesh, I'm probably going to think something like, this woman's gone through this thing for 12 years. What's one more hour going to hurt? But Jesus wasn't willing to wait one more hour to heal this woman. So he stops, and he deals with her. And the whole time, Jairus has got to be thinking, how's this thing going to play out? What's going to happen here? You know, he's trying not to dwell upon it, but in the back of his mind, there's got to be that thought, she could die. And then what? But he stands there. The Bible never says he rebuked Jesus. Every indication that we have from this passage in Matthew's account tells us that for all we know, Jairus stood there patiently while Jesus did what he had to do. I'm just going to be honest with you. Probably a better man than I. Probably a better man than I. But he stands there. Jesus is finally wrapping up, and you can kind of sense that the conversation's coming to a close. And Jairus' hope returns that we're going to go now and we're going to get there and Jesus is going to take care of it. He's going to heal her. When right as the conversation closes, in verse number 35, the Bible says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Those had to be the worst words imaginable for Jairus. I tell you, and I don't think I'm alone here. I tell you, I would have probably lost it. I probably would have gotten mad. You say, Brother Decker, be careful what you say. I might have told Jesus a thing or two just because I know me. Jesus, I got to you first. You said you would come with me long before she ever grabbed hold of your robe. Long before she ever touched your garment, you were following me. And because you stopped, my daughter's dead now. That's not what he did. The Bible says in verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Now watch what happens in verse 37. I got to tell you, I'm trying to be honest with you tonight. And verse 37 probably would have made me madder than before. But verse 37, and Jesus, he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And I probably would have looked at Jesus and said, oh, now you tell nobody to follow you. If you'd have said that in the beginning, that woman would have never touched you. We'd been there. She'd been just fine by now, Lord. But now Jesus looks at Jairus and says, all right, I'm all yours now. Let's go. And he cometh to the house in verse 38 of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? This damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. For she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. So Jesus walks in, takes her by the hand, says, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. The girl gets up, walks across the room. Jesus says, give her something to eat. Hey, by the way, dead people don't eat. If she's going to eat something, that means she's alive. She has an appetite. She's back. She was dead, but she's living now. And Jairus was able to learn something through this situation. Here's what he learned. Are you ready for this? This is what he learned. There is never a moment in any circumstance where hope turns to hopelessness when Jesus is involved. There's never a point. In our natural minds, we think, well, if there's ever a point when hope is gone, it's got to be death. I mean, that is the finality. That is the end. Right up there on the movie screen. Boom, the end. That's death. It's over. It's finished. Not when Jesus is involved. And when Jesus is involved, there is never a moment in any circumstance where a situation becomes hopeless because He is the God of all hope. And He's still the God that we serve. He's the God that is still alive. Even when He died, it wasn't the end, because 3 days later, He rose Himself from the grave. He told His disciples, I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it up again. So there's never a moment in any circumstance where hope turns to hopelessness when Jesus is involved. So knowing that, I want us to go back to Philippians chapter 3 and think about what Paul said. Remember Paul's desire? He said, that I may know Him. And there's two specific ways Paul said, I want to know Him. Paul said, the first way I want to know Him, or he lists them in an order, and I'm going to take them a little bit out of that order. But one way he said he wanted to know Christ was in the fellowship of His suffering. Now, maybe some of us are thinking, yeah, I can identify with that because I am no stranger to suffering. Is there anybody in here that you've never suffered before? Oh, good. God gave me the right message for the right group. No, absolutely. We've all suffered before. Something, somewhere, some way. We've suffered something before. But all of us understand suffering. That's not what Paul's talking about. Paul said the fellowship of His suffering, a specific type of suffering. Paul said, I want to know the suffering that comes from being a follower of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm talking about the type of suffering that I'm talking about when I say that anyone who lives godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I'm talking about suffering for Jesus' name's sake. I want to know that kind of suffering. Why? Because that's an indication that I know who He is and what He did for me. If I can live in such a way that the world will treat me like they treated Him. Listen, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. So it doesn't sound very good. No, it sure doesn't. Nobody likes persecution. I remember when I was going through Bible college, and the strangest thing I've probably heard anybody say was we were all messing around, and you know how college guys do, or maybe you don't, but that's okay. But we were wrestling around the dorms, having these wrestling matches and everything, and I heard words come out of a guy's mouth I'd never heard before. He jumped down on the floor, just belly down, and said, "Dog pile on me!" You just don't hear that very often. I mean, that's a way to get hurt. And no true Christian runs out here into the world and says, "Hey, persecute me. Go ahead, stone me. Go ahead, cut my head off. Beat me, throw me in jail." Well, at least no sane Christian does that. However, the Bible does say that if you live as Christ, as you have Christ for an ensample, that you will undergo persecution for your beliefs, for your statements, for your stand for Jesus Christ. You will know what persecution is. Paul said, listen, if I can fellowship with Jesus Christ by suffering for the same exact things that he suffered for, then that's just going to help me to know him more. But that wasn't the only thing he said. He said also, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. I had to study this for a long time. For a while, I thought that by Paul saying that I want to know him in the power of resurrection, that is a knowledge that a person can only have when they reach the point of death. But just like you can know the fellowship of his sufferings in life, I found out that you can know the power of his resurrection in life as well. Let me give you an example. Jairus knew Jesus in the power of his resurrection because he saw that power manifested firsthand. Maybe you're sitting there saying, yeah, but Jesus doesn't do that anymore. Listen, Jesus is still willing to display all of his power on a regular basis. The problem is many times we're not ready to know him in his power. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. To know Jesus fully in the power of his resurrection, you have to let that problem get to the point where there is absolutely nothing anybody that is earthly can do about it. Only then can you see the power of the resurrection in your circumstances as they come into your life. Let me give you an example of what we do a whole lot. We're like Jairus. We have come to God in urgency. And we have taken our burden and we have laid it at his feet. But as we probably have all found out about when we take our burdens to Jesus, sometimes he answers right away and sometimes he do not. Sometimes the results come immediately, and sometimes that problem just sits there for a little while. I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes even after you've given it to the Lord, the problem continues to worsen. You say, why is he doing it? Well, why isn't he taking care of this? Why is he letting the problem get worse before he steps in? Let me give you an idea. Because he wants you to know him in more power than you've ever known him before. And if he can let your circumstance get worse, and if you will let your circumstance get worse, then he will come in and show you greater power than you've ever known. The problem, many times we don't let it get that far. You see, I've already talked about a lot of what I would have done if I'd been Jairus, but here's another thing. Probably about 5 minutes into that conversation with that woman with the issue of blood, I'd have looked at my servant that I had with me and said, "Come on, let's go see if we can find some medicine. Come on, my daughter's too sick to stand here and wait for this woman to finish her sob story." But you know what that shows? Number one, it shows a lack of faith that Jesus knows what he's doing. And number two, it shows a lack of compassion in other people's circumstances around you too. I've often heard this, and I believe it to be true. No matter how bad your situation is, there's somebody that's worse. No matter how bad it gets, somebody's is going to get worse than yours. But here's what we need to learn as Christians to be able to know Jesus fully in the power of His resurrection. We need to learn how to wait on the Lord. You say, but Brother Decker, I just can't wait through problems. I'm not saying it's easy, but we've got to learn to wait. But it's getting worse. You don't understand. It is absolutely getting worse. And you got a problem that you've asked prayer for many times, and you've asked about this, and you've asked about that, and you know the church is praying for you, but every week, every Wednesday night, and you come back and have a prayer time like Brother Waterloo said you're going to do here in just a minute, every time you share that need, but every week it's worse than last week when you ask for the request. And then you have somebody over here, and they just had a little request. They just needed $50. And in the same time that they raise their hand and ask prayer for $50, boom, they get $50. And you think, why didn't God answer in my prayer like that? Why isn't God fixing my problem that quick? I mean, He's doing it for other people. Why is He not doing it for me? It's probably because He wants you to know Him in greater power than you've ever known before. And the worse the problem gets, the more power He shows you when He fixes it. Does that make sense? I'm telling you, whether it makes sense to you or not, it's true. It's absolutely true. I love Jairus. I admire him. I'm talking about that deep admiration in my heart when I look at him and I think, he just stood there and trusted the Lord. And even when the servant came and said, she's dead, don't bother Jesus anymore, he didn't say anything. He just stood there and said, I believe. I just believe that it's not gotten to the point where he can't fix it yet. And sure enough, when Jesus got to his house, he proved that his faith was well founded. I want to tell you that as you depend upon the Lord, your faith is always well founded. You depend upon doctors, that's why they have malpractice insurance. You depend upon lawyers, I'm not even going to go there. Let's go one step further. Let's just be honest. You depend upon your pastor, praise God. But he's fallible and he could let you down. But you trust the Lord and your faith is well founded. It's hard to watch a problem get worse and not see a solution. But that's why I'm asking you tonight. Will you keep trusting the Lord? Will you keep depending upon Him? If you want to know Him as He wants to be known, you will trust Him come what may. And you will see a power that you've never seen before. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your Word. Thank You for how You love us, God. Thank You for how You care for us and always want what's best for us. And Lord, if it's best for us to see days darken and valleys grow deeper, that we might know Your power more when we reach the mountaintop, God, would You help us to wait? In Jesus' precious name, amen.
You have been listening to the Wednesday evening broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. The message from Brother Joe Decker: Jesus is always there, He cares about us, and there's no problem that He can't handle. We hope you've been blessed by the message tonight, and if you ever find yourself in Ponca City, Oklahoma, stop by 6th and Hartford and give us the chance to get to know you. God bless you. Have a great day.